You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Here we go, Bri. Now, we got a great show lined up, and last week you were with the Grey Poupon crowd.
I was with the very Grey Poupon crowd, and it was more than that. So we went to the Collecting Cars coffee run in Yorkville.
Yes.
And they took over that garage in Yorkville, and what an amazing day. Perfect weather.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Yeah, but the whole building was just hot cars.
It was, yeah, and more than hot cars. I mean, a friend of mine showed up in his Ferrari Testarossa that he recently picked up. I was blown away.
Uh-huh.
Cliff at Collecting Cars did a great job sort of curating the show and bringing out the best of what's in Toronto. And the highlight was this very special 300SL Gullwing. So they had a regular Gullwing there, which everybody's seen. You know, they made whatever, 3,000 or 3,500 of them in the 50s.
Okay. Yeah.
But this other one, I don't know the history, but it's got different bodywork, no bumpers. So I'm assuming it was a competition car from the 50s.
Right.
And
so that the 300 Gullwing, aside from being a rich guy's toy, was actually made into a race car.
That's why they built it.
It
was originally intended as a race car, and then they produced a series of road cars. And the funny thing is, they went unloved through the 60s and 70s.
Right, and I don't remember, you know, up until the last 10 years or so, even hearing about them. You know, who had what was a Gullwing?
Yeah, exactly.
We just thought that was a gigot modern people put on their cars and said, "How come they can put on doors like that? It looks stupid." You know, but they thought it looked hot.
Exactly.
Now, could you buy anything there for less than $100,000?
Yeah, there was several Miatas and things, and a friend of mine brought his 190E 2.3 16 Mercedes Benz. So you remember those from the mid 80s, the 190s?
Little coupe,
except this one has a special motor, and they raced them in the 80s. So it's a neat little car, and we went afterwards. We went cigar smoking in his Mercedes Benz.
If somebody's interested in buying one of these fine pieces of machinery, how do they find them?
Collectingcars.com.
Okay.
That's our friend Cliff Fraser, and they specialize in interesting collector cars.
Right, and they vet them, so they for the most part, these are decent, real cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a good job with that, and Cliff said on the show last week that they do a good job of connecting potential buyers with the sellers,
and
you can get a pre-purchase inspection and all that stuff. So, if you're into collecting cars.com is an interesting spot.
All right, now let's go from people who collect cars and drive cars because they love cars to people who just only want a car to be their self-transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing nowadays.
It is. And, you know, everybody talks about self-driving cars.
Yes.
But the number one takeaway I want to leave people with is that you cannot buy a self-driving car today.
There's cars that they try to tell you they can drive themselves.
Absolutely. I went on a big highway drive this week in a Honda Civic.
Yes.
And it's got very good adaptive cruise and very good lane keep assist.
I have why my wife drives one. And now, maybe I'm dumb and I haven't even read the owner's manual. But it does have active cruise control, which I kind of like.
Yes.
But again, my issue is that my old Betty that I drive, it has cruise.
That's right.
It's not as smart as my wife's. And I'm going, and guaranteed this is going to happen if it hasn't already, where people will assume that their car is smarter than they are.
Mm-hmm. And some of these systems are very good. They can stop and start in traffic. So you really got, this is a question of reading the manual and understanding this technology before you go for a drive. These cars do not drive themselves quite yet.
All right. Well, you know, down the road, we're going to have Mr. Mark Saltzman, our resident tech guru. Maybe he's got something to say about all things electronic. We've got Carrie Schmidt coming up next. And later on in the show, we got two coppers, eh? We're going to have PC Sean Shapiro is going to talk about a little crazy thing that's happening. I got one of the letters, and I thought, what kind of scam is this? They want my money. They told me, Doug said I don't have to pay for plates no more.
That's right.
And now they sent me a bill.
Uh-huh.
What the F is going on?
There's more to it, and we're going to get into it.
Right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan G, and I you know what? I didn't do it right, Carlos. You have to give me crap. You're supposed to wave to me, and then they said, Al, you're talking over the music. And I went, sorry, this is my first week on the job.
Yeah, you're new to radio, right?
So three pedals. You think that'll stop people from carjacking?
I think so. I think so. We were just talking about that off air, and carjackings are up in the city of Toronto. Unfortunately, there's the same number of carjackings so far this year as there were in all of last year.
Yeah, I want to find out. Maybe if one of our police guys know, because the numbers are stupid. I don't know. Is it just some? I can't find a job, but I can make $100 if I steal a rich person's car.
This is the thing. I don't know where they're going either. I mean, you know, there's, I don't know what people do with stolen cars, but with respect to manuals, I can't imagine many carjackers are proficient with three pedals and a shifter.
Exactly. They probably, well, apparently, like this one that got apprehended by some other citizen looked like he was only 15 or 16 years old. So, I mean, it's not like that a whole lot of experience behind the wheel.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. And, I'm not seriously concerned, but I'm a little concerned because a lot of the test cars I drive are very premium, very expensive. So,
right.
You know, they might be a target, but I'm not terribly concerned. I mean, we are talking a little bit of an anomaly and not, you know, tremendously huge numbers. I wouldn't say Toronto's unsafe, but this is a problem that needs to be remedied here in the city.
Well, no question about it. Apparently, the government is getting involved. I don't know what they're going to do, what kind of plan that they have. I mean, you can have eyes in the sky looking for carjackers. Obviously, it's important if you own a high-end vehicle that you got to be aware, you know.
Yeah.
It's one thing to look outside. See, my hair is going to get wet because it's going to rain, but you got to look. And there's been all kinds of scams that way. I mean, there's a famous one where someone bumps you with their car and, you know, you get out of your car to go look and the next thing you know, they steal your purse and your keys.
Exactly. I think the one thing I'd like to leave listeners with is that if you're in that situation, just give up the car. The car can be replaced.
Well, Yeah. But right now it's hard.
Well, this
there
is true.
Aren't any cars.
This is true. But I mean, if you're confronted with a weapon, I mean, you really got to get rid of you got to let it go. Let the car go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not worth the fight because in a lot of cases, you know, some of these people aren't full on in the head either. You know, they got a little bit of problem between the ears and they're not going to be like kind of rational.
They're not going to be polite about it.
No. Just give me the keys.
Keys, your car, and your cell phone, please.
Exactly. We're going to talk about a little bit and we're going to ask Mark about this too, but about the self-driving vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, you know, my cruise control works.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some cars Cadillac has where you can actually take your hands off the wheel, right?
Yeah, that's right. I tested the Cadillac Escalade last year with, and I towed with it, with Super Cruise, it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fully hands-off system. However, so it'll drive itself on certain roads.
Right.
And it'll stop and start and that sort of thing. But it's on specific roads. So the roads are fully mapped. So the car kind of knows where it's going. And it's, you know, generally wide open roads, freeways, that sort of thing. And you don't have to put your hands on the wheel. But
so,
what you have to do is look forward. So
mm-hmm.
that it has cameras that monitor the driver. So you have to be paying attention. You can't pick up your cell phone. You can't pick up a book. You can't go to sleep.
So if anything, it's driver assist. It's not driver can go, you know, do something else altogether.
That's right. It's not autonomous technology at all. It's absolutely driver assist, and that's what it does. And on long trips, these kind of systems take the stress off the driver, and I enjoy using them in that regard. If I've got to devour, you know, a couple hundred kilometers in a day, I like these systems.
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, I like even just with that cruise, it's kind of neat, you know. But you know, at the same time, I think it lulls you into this complacency that you're not thinking, you know, you're half asleep. But yes, as it is. So it monitored those cameras that look at your eyes. Is that
absolutely
it?
They absolutely do look at your eyes. Of course I tested it. I looked away.
Sunglasses. What happens there?
And this is the other thing.
Yeah.
If you wear polarized sunglasses like I do,
yes,
the cameras can't see through them. So then the system gives you a warning and then eventually shuts down.
Okay. But if you've got the glasses on, it will not initialize, I guess.
So it'll start.
Yes.
But then the system will monitor you, and it can't see your eyes through the polarized lenses. So then it gives you a warning, and then a minute later it shuts down. So you got to go back to driving the vehicle yourself.
Oh, buddy, you got to take off them shades, eh?
That's right.
I think you look cool, but I can't make the car work if you're going to wear them stupid shades. All right, after the break, we're going to be talking to OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt. Who I'm allowed to say he's taking the weekend off, but
he's always working.
He works so hard, eh?
Yes, he does.
He does. All right, we will be with Kerry Schmidt right after this break. Hello, everybody. My name is Alan G, and beside me is Brian Mass, race car driver. Just came back from Detroit. You're on the go all the time, eh?
Yeah, I had a great week in Detroit, that's for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of interesting things, which we'll be talking about later.
Yeah, excellent. Looking forward to that. And on his phone, hopefully not driving, Kerry Schmidt, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. No, I'm not driving. I'm parked nicely and just enjoying a beautiful Saturday morning.
Exactly. You know what? And I hope everybody else is doing that as well. But I hope they have both hands on the wheel and they're looking straight ahead instead of down in their lap, which is the dead giveaway, right?
Well, you know what? That's the problem. You know, here we are. We're Saturday morning now, Victoria Day long weekend. A lot of people were up already jumping the gun on Thursday. Friday, yesterday was a really busy day. And there's going to be a lot of people still going up for day trips and just still traveling around this weekend. You get the extra day off. But when we look at our statistics, sadly, you know, when we look at why people are dying, it's because of distraction and inattention. And it's not always the person who's distracted who's the one who's losing their life. And we've had 107 people die already this year, and distracted driving, inattentive driving is up about 80% from last year. Completely unacceptable for us to be constantly getting these calls. And so often, I can tell you, I'm at a crash scene, vehicles twisted metal, people are seriously injured or maybe worse. And their cell phones inside the car, they're ringing because people are looking for them and trying to get a hold of them. And we know, you know, a few minutes before, they were probably on their phone, driving along, not paying any attention to the roads, and all of a sudden, disaster strikes. And so I need to remind people, you know, how important it is. If you're sitting in that driver's seat, your full attention needs to be on driving.
You know, I mean, we have the technology. And in fact, you know, we sort of curse it out, you know, in my wife's car, for example. You know, once you start moving, the GPS goes stupid on the dashboard, eh? Like, you can't initialize something. You can't put in a new address or something because it says you're driving. You can't do this. Why don't they just do that with phones?
You know what? And some phones have that thing and asks you, are you driving? Mm-hmm. And you need either say yes or no, and hopefully you're telling the truth. And if you're the passenger in the vehicle, you're the one that's manipulating the GPS, the navigation. You're working on the playlist, the songs, the tunes, the music, whatever's coming through that phone, because our lives are kind of in that phone already. And for us to be separated from our life while we're commuting to work an hour or more a day, you know, it's a very isolating experience, and people don't want that isolation. They want to feel connected, and cars allow us to be connected. But again, that is where drivers end up not paying attention. And it's not just cell phones. It could be other distractions in or outside the vehicle as well. But really, just having that focus on the road and the focus on the task of driving, because it is still a job. It is an active experience. You know, as a driver, you know, you look at a race car driver or anybody else, you know, their voice commands, they have intercoms, they can talk to their pit crew, but they are not sitting there fiddling around with stuff while they're focusing on the road.
Yeah, Kerry, I've been racing cars since I was a kid, and you know, radios are great and all that stuff, but the thing is, we've got this concept in our culture of multitasking, and that's it's not really a thing. What you're actually doing is you're splitting your attention. You're taking your attention immediately from one task to the other. And as a racing driver, that's difficult enough. Driving on the road with so many different potential risks or whatever the case is, yeah. It's so difficult to do. And, I don't like talking about this myth of multitasking because you just can't do it, especially when you've got an important job to do when you're driving a vehicle.
Yeah, for sure. It's dynamic. This is not a static experience where you're sitting watching a movie screen going by you. You are actively involved in this. And when you talk about divided attention or multitasking, you can do one thing at a time, and you can do 10 things independently, one after the other after the other, and it makes it look like you're doing 10 things at a time, but while you're doing number 2, 3, and 4, you're not doing number 1. And if number 1 is driving, look out, you're in trouble.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, we're talking about we. It's funny how we arranged on our show. We opened up talking about a car show where people lived and breathed and loved cars, right? But at the other end of the spectrum, we're talking about cars. First of all, that drive themselves almost, and to the point where cars in a lot of cases are just a transportation device. It's just to get me from A to B. So there's people that don't care about cars. All I do is want to get there, and if it's going to take too much brain power, I'll just look at my phone. So it's the full gamut. And again, it's just transportation. But do we lack the manpower? I know fines have gone up. There's no question about it. But are you guys actively looking and pulling people over for this?
Well, for sure. We charge distracted drivers all the time, careless drivers. And again, you see it when you're stopped at a light. All you got to do is look left and right, and you've got two drivers, and I'll bet you one for sure, if not both, are on their phone. And when you're going down the road, stop and go traffic, you're seeing that constantly. And so definitely officers are certainly conducting enforcement. It's an expensive fine. It's a $600-some-odd a ticket. It's an automatic 3-day license suspension upon conviction. This is pretty serious stuff. You have to pay a reinstatement fee. It's not about the ticket. It's about saving these lives and changing the way we behave. And computers can do millions of tasks in a day or in a second. We're brain power has as amazing computing capacity, but we get distracted. We start forgetting about what's going on. And I'm sure we often talk, on the phone, and all of a sudden you miss your exit, and you're like, "Wow, how did I miss that?" Because you are totally in another world, and that's how quickly things change. And how many times have you had to slam on the brakes because all of a sudden traffic stopped in front of you? Well, it didn't. You just weren't paying attention, and traffic slowed, and you could have slowed down with everybody else normally had you all been paying attention at the same time.
So. All right, Kerry, I got to jump in because you got to put your phone down. We got to get the heck out of here.
All righty. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. Always keep up the great work. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with my pal Alan Gelman, and on Skype, we've got Mark Salzman. Mark, you wrote a piece in the Toronto Star a couple weeks ago about 5G, and 5G is in the news for lots of reasons, but there's an applicable reason in the car world. And I'm reading the story, and you mentioned that the 22 BMW iX xDrive 50 is the first 5G-equipped car in the U.S., and guess what my test car is next week?
Nice. Enjoy. Yeah, I've been writing about 5G for years, obviously. It's something that we always, associate with a smartphone, like your iPhone probably has 5G. But your car is turning into a computer on wheels, right? And that means that wireless connectivity goes with it. A computer is only so good by itself, and then you add Wi-Fi. And then a computer connected to the internet is so much more, just like computers have been in cars for years, but adding wireless connectivity and now much faster speeds is essentially what 5G offers. There's some other bells and whistles, but that's the big story. It really sort of brings it into the next generation. So yeah, there's a lot going on with cellular, as well as automation and electrification, of course, and they're all interrelated.
that's the best thing. There's so much going on, and it's an interesting time in the automotive business because technology is advancing so quickly. But what 5G you know, to my limited understanding, because I'm a racing driver, I'm just a dumb racing driver, but 5G allows for more data and faster connectivity in 5G-equipped cars.
Yeah, there's three main advantages to 5G across the board, whatever device has it, is, yeah, much faster data speeds. Second, which is related, is lower latency. So that's the time required for data to travel between two points. So if you touch a an icon on your dashboard, it's going to be significantly faster when it's that content even isn't stored locally. It's stored on someone's servers somewhere in the cloud. And then the third advantage to 5G is higher concentration. So meaning, in the past, if you're at a Toronto Raptors game and you're trying to stream a video online at the same time with, you know, 30,000 other people trying to do it, it's not going to be so well, but it's not going to go so smoothly. But with 5G, it's a fatter pipe, so to speak. So it can support more devices in the same area at the same time. So 5G, though, in vehicles, there's a few different buckets of, like, why 5G? Just because you can doesn't mean you should, is one argument. But here's what it boils down to. Number one, again, your car is turning into a computer on wheels, and that means services, connected services. So it could mean things like diagnostics and pushed updates to your vehicle's operating system, right, over the air. And it's going to be much faster and easier to do that with 5G. Again, diagnostics, the ability for a car to tell the car company, the manufacturer, what the issue is, to sort of self-diagnose before you even pull into the dealership, kind of thing. Another advantage is navigation and communication, like all the dashboard stuff, infotainment systems, right, with over-the-air updates. So your maps, your communication with other, you know, if you're using 5G in the car for chatting and not your smartphone because it's a stronger signal with that little antenna on the roof, you know, for all those things, for news, this is all being pushed. It's much faster. And then the third right now is app support. Again, the ability to talk to your car when you're not even there. So someone's trying to break into your vehicle, you can get a push notification on your phone, which you could have done with 4G. It's just going to be that much faster. Or, you know, seeing, you know, what the tire pressure is like, or your electric charge levels are like, or your gas gauge, all remotely. So those are the today reasons why you want 5G. There's a lot more in the future.
Okay, Mark, it's Alan speaking. Now, instead of, like, all these things are, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of them are entertainment, you know. You know, like,
yeah, it's more toys than just streaming Netflix for the kids in the backseat. But I hear you.
We're right. But at the same time, and you know, we were talking to Carrie Schmidt earlier about distracted driving, you know, and I think if anything, this is going to make it more distracting because people are going to be, oh, look how much better this works now. And look at all the more choices I have.
toys. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But really, isn't part of the reasoning is because we want cars to be able to talk to each other to avoid collision?
I think the real excitement with 5G and probably 6G by the time this really materializes is car-to-car communication, and that's part of the whole autonomous vehicle revolution that we're not quite there yet, but it's going to facilitate safer communication between vehicles, and again, between the car and the car manufacturer as well, so they can study all that data and see what's going on. And they can also share that data or sell that data with cities that could see congestion and all that. So that, or your vehicle can wirelessly communicate with a stoplight or a construction sign or a construction worker wearing a vest that has a sensor in it that tells the driver of the car that there's work zone ahead. There's all these different sort of IoT or Internet of Things advantages that we're not quite there yet. But that's the promise of a connected car, is that if an autonomous vehicle can communicate with one another, it can drive, in theory, mere millimeters behind one another on the Don Valley Parkway in Toronto in order to smooth out traffic, because it is in constant communication and will anticipate anything because they're all connected. It's a little scary for some and a little bit sci-fi at this point, but that's the true promise of a connected car, I think.
Well, it's going to take a little while to roll this out, but I mean, you know, as you know, new cars hit the ground, we're going to have more 5G equipped cars. I'm already hearing of, you know, non-Teslas, because Tesla's famous for over-the-air updates, but I'm already hearing of non-Teslas getting over-the-air updates and legitimate updates happening to vehicles. So that's already happening with 5G. What do you think your average driver is going to see first?
Yeah, so again, the ability to quote-unquote patch any issues with the vehicle is super practical. Yeah, I know you joked earlier about entertainment and distracted driving with videos playing and all that, but I mean, there's some practical applications for faster over-the-air updates. I mean, there's obviously a real sort of advantage there, just like if there's a vulnerability found in your smartphone or on your computer, it's patched by the operating system company. But yeah, going down the road, pardon the pun, it's going to just not just be about entertainment and updates, but vehicle to vehicle communication, vehicle to everything communication, that there's going to be inexpensive sensors in virtually everything. And the good news is that, yeah, you don't have to rip up the existing infrastructure and lay down new highways and all that. They're going to be able to retrofit a lot of the existing infrastructure with these sensors. So that's, to me, the true promise, if I understand your question correctly.
All right. And not that I'm worried about Big Brother, because they see everything already anyways, but that, I, you know, has been a concern for,
sure,
for many years about, you know, going to 5G and how is my own personal information going to be encrypted or saved or secure?
There's a lot of ancillary concerns, without question. I spoke about this, by the way, gents, last week at the Western Canada Information Security Conference.
Oh, I didn't get my tickets.
It was hosted in Winnipeg this time, and I did include in my presentation a whole sort of section on self-driving cars, autonomous vehicles. But because it's a cybersecurity convention, of course I have to acknowledge that there's risks. So whether it's a car being hacked, whether it's you oversharing your data, whether it's the authorities taking advantage of this data and knowing where you are at all times, you know, there's always that double argument, you know, well, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. But if you're if there's a police chase and if the authorities have the ability to slow you down, which you can do now already, you know, but again, just amped up to the next level, that's a concern, right? Or again, a car being hacked, getting a virus. I mean, anything connected to the internet, another point to the internet is another area of concern, whether it's Big Brother, whether it's a hack of malicious types out there. What about extortion? What about ransomware? What about we're not going to let you drive your car unless you give me a Bitcoin. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's scary, but hopefully, and it's always a cat and mouse chase with these cyber criminals. Hopefully the car manufacturers are putting some safeguards in place. Nothing is for sure. That's for certain. But hopefully there's some safeguards to keep everybody safe. And that would be the, you know, the opposite of what tech is supposed to bring to the table, which is make things safer and more efficient.
Well, I really hope that's the case. Starting in the 2025 model year, at least in the U.S., the police or whatever authorities now have a back door. So there's a kill switch that's been mandated U.S. legislation. So, you know, given that it's a computer-based system, it can be hacked, of course. So, you know, hopefully...
Yeah. I'm less concerned about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I know it's Big Brother, to allow that at all, you know, freedom fighters hate the idea of anybody being able to do that. But, I mean, I'm all for that. But, yeah, I'm concerned more about hacks and viruses and malware, malicious software.
Yeah, you know, I could fix someone. I could put a battery in someone's car or change the alternator. But wow, getting rid of somebody's you know, malicious software. I don't know about that. I'll have to get courses on that.
Enlist the help of Bill Gates.
Kind exactly, and like you said too, my dad always said, you know, if you don't want the cops to hassle you, just pull over and be nice. You know, like, you're not hiding nothing. Just be straight. Eh?
That's a whole other conversation altogether. But yeah, I mean, look, I think it's an exciting time with while we may not be on the verge of autonomous vehicles, we're still many years away, I think, for true autonomous vehicles. We've got some semi-autonomous technologies now. But to me, we are on the verge of an electric revolution, which is a whole other conversation, which this is tied to, but very exciting times.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. If people want to reach you, how do they find you?
Yeah, thanks so much, Brian and Alan. I'm on social media, so it's Mark with a C, SaltzMan. I'd love to chat with you.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
You know, we keep throwing these terms around, and I'm wondering what's more scary, a semi-autonomous car or an autonomous semi?
Great question.
I see there's a truck behind me. Hopefully it's got a plate on it. And speaking of plates, we have PC Sean Shapiro on the line with us. How are you, PC Sean?
Good. How you guys doing?
Excellent, excellent. So can you straighten this out? Apparently, Dougie said we don't have to pay for license plates anymore, and people are getting stickered. They're getting notified via mail, snail mail, that they got to pay. What's going on?
So it depends on the class of vehicle. If they have a passenger vehicle, light-duty vehicle under 3,000 kilos, motorcycles, mopeds, you don't have to pay, but you still have to renew. And that's where I think there's been some miscommunication or at least a misunderstanding. And folks who have been traveling interprovincially are getting tickets for expired license plates because they haven't renewed them. So the deal is, it's free. You go online, you punch in your mileage. As long as your insurance is valid, you're pretty much done. You select 1 or 2 years and move forward. You get a printed receipt, and you're valid in our system and good to go.
So, Sean, a few years ago, I'm guilty of this. I would renew the plate, get the sticker, and then throw it in the glove box, and then intend to put it on. You know, I have a lovely carbon fiber license plate frame on my car, and the other one has a Lamborghini one. But, you know, I tuck the sticker up underneath the license plate frame. So, of course, I want to do it properly. And, you know, I've been pulled over. And in the old days, the fine was maybe $100, and I'd have the sticker in the car, and everything was good. But I think the fine's gone up, hasn't it?
Actually, no. The fine is $110 for not renewing your license plate. If you didn't have your validation sticker on there, it would also be $110. But let's not forget, we should get into this whole license plate frame and license plate cover thing, because that's also a $110 fine. You can't cover your license plate in any way, shape, or form. But I don't want to go too deep into that. We'll stick with the license plate renewal part portion.
That's because they don't enforce it. That's what I just want to talk about.
That's exactly it.
It is being enforced, especially tinted covers and clear covers. The frames, as long as it's not covering anything, you may never have a problem. But you got to know that it's a potential that you could get pulled over for it. So back to the actual stickers. A lot of people don't want to take them off, even though they've renewed. And if you're traveling outside of the province or especially into the States, you may get pulled over because of the expired sticker, with them not understanding that we don't require them anymore. So it would be my suggestion is, once your plates are valid and renewed in the system, that you actually remove your old stickers.
So when I do renew it, will I get a sticker?
No, there's no stickers being produced or shipped anymore. You only get a printed receipt that you yourself have to print out, and my suggestion is to keep it. And also store an electronic copy for your own protection if you're pulled over, just in case technology fails. I know Mark might disagree that technology might not fail, but the deal is that there's always issues, or maybe issues, and you want to make sure you have as much proof. And I was talking with Jerry Agar on News Talk 1010 last week, and he's actually carrying around a copy of a news article explaining that things have changed, just to be absolutely sure.
I have a question. Because my wife called me, and she was bent out of shape, and she told me, thankfully, it was a nice officer. But what's the importance of having the sticker inside on the back of your ownership? So there's a valid sticker on her license plate, right?
Yeah.
But now they want to look at her ownership and see if that paper sticker is on the inside. What's the point of that?
So that's validating the permit. And what used to be is, you know, we wanted to make sure that the plate was validated so we could see while we were driving by.
Right.
And remember, stickers have been around for a long time, well before the technology was there to support what we're doing now, where we run it and see if it's up to date live in our system.
Right.
So that was one side of it. And then the small sticker, like the validation permit, was basically the outward representation of your permit. That's what has to be validated. And that's what we're validating now. But there's no more stickers. So that's where that receipt and chase to make sure that everything's valid is there. And if you ever do update your ownership with a change of address, your expiry will be printed right on the face of that that permit.
I think he sounds like a lawyer, doesn't he?
He almost sounds like a lawyer. But I see him on social media more than I, you know. If there's somebody on social media more than me, it's Sean Shapiro.
I try. You know, we do the streaming thing every day, although it won't be for the next 2 weeks because I'm actually on vacation officially now. But we do Monday to Friday, 10 to 11. We do a live stream on pretty much every social media platform out there where you can ask us questions live. And we've done a lot of talking about this particular topic. In fact, we had one video we put out specifically about license plate renewals, 488,000 views. We were amazed at how many people were completely unaware of the fact that you still had to renew your plates.
Well, if you wanted some visual, you could probably come by our shop and you could watch us try to take rusty screws out of the back license plates on cars so people could get the cover off to put the sticker underneath, which is why people just stick them on the outside. All right.
Which is also a ticket.
Yes. Yep. All right. We got a couple minutes left, but I quickly want to talk about carjacking.
Sure.
What should you do?
Here's the deal. Your car may be something you love, but it's not worth risking your life over. If you are in a situation where your life is at risk, give up your car. That's what insurance is for. You don't want to go toe-to-toe and put yourself at risk. And, you know, obviously there's an issue right now with some high-end cars that have been targeted, but your safety is everything. I know some people have talked about, what if my kids are in the car? You be very vocal. I know you may be under stress, be very vocal in the event that you're approached and let them know you got your kids and you got to get them out.
Oh, yeah. Like, I guess, really.
I mean, yeah, there's carjacking and then there's kidnapping.
Yeah, and we've heard all the stories in the media, whether it be in Canada or the U.S., where a car's been taken and there's a child inside, and that becomes our highest priority. Amber alerts, you know, take up, and you know, we don't want these things to happen. And not that we're looking for carjackers to be, you know, kind-hearted while they're stealing your stuff, but they have to take into consideration what's going on, and hopefully nobody has to deal with this. Some people suggested buy really old stick shift cars and you're going to be car theft.
So you've been on Brian's website, which is Save the Manuals. Okay.
I've been seeing your t-shirt stuff.
Oh yes. Yeah. I shot another episode with it this week and I, you know, tested a manual and of course have manuals at home. And you know, that's the thing. I mean, my wife's daily is a manual and we live in the city obviously. And if something like this happens, she knows that a carjacker's not going far in her car.
At least, yeah, until the clutch goes. Yeah,
that's right.
A good buddy of mine, he refuses to buy an automatic vehicle, and he's gone to great lengths and shipped them from out of the province, out of the country, like just to get a manual vehicle and a modern vehicle. So they keep taking the option away from him. He gets more and more frustrated.
Apparently, those are the cars that are outside at Tim Hortons running in the wintertime because they feel that that's a security device alone, okay?
It
has three pedals. Nobody knows how to drive it. They're not going to steal my car. I said, you're an idiot, okay? Now, quickly, we're going to have to... Oh, I hear the music, so we're going to have to run. Now, people want to hear or see your fantastic voice and videos. Where do they find them?
You can get us on TikTok at Traffic Services. You can get us at the same address on Twitter, Traffic Services Toronto Police on YouTube, and Twitch Traffic Services.
But make sure you're stopped at the side of the road or not driving when you're viewing those videos, right?
You can get our new podcast at TPS Traffic Jam anywhere that you can get podcasts.
You missed the point. I don't want people using their phone and driving, okay?
I got it.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Talk to you soon.
All right. We got to run, and we'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. You know, it seems that we've been jammed with technology today. We talked with Mark Saltzman about 5Gs, and cars will be able to talk to each other and give you all these other abilities to do stuff online. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an old guy. I'm not a new guy. But, you know, if you want to buy groceries, you want to buy bed sheets, you know, you simply pop on Amazon Prime or some other supplier. You know, you can do it from your living room. You could have your finest stretch pants on, you know, or no pants. Ooh. But you know what? And you can buy what you need. And if it doesn't fit or it's not what you expected, well, then it's easy to just give it back. Now, they're trying to make, I know COVID had a lot to do with it, but they're trying to put the whole world online. And is buying a car necessarily a great idea to do online?
Well, you know, for new cars, there's much less risk. But as a driver, you want to make sure that everything works to your satisfaction. You fit properly, you're comfortable in it, and that sort of thing.
Right, and when I watch your reviews, you know, that's the first things you're talking about is, you know, am I comfortable in the seat? Can I see over the fenders? Is there blind spots?
Yes.
You can't tell that online.
You can't do that online. And, you know, that's what I always recommend. In today's day and age, you can absolutely have a brand new car delivered to your house without ever having to leave your home. And that's not necessarily the best idea all the time.
And like I told a customer once, this ain't Eaton's, okay? Like, you don't like it. You can't just call them up and tell them to come get it and get your money back.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
No.
No, so this is important. I mean, so certainly in terms of doing your homework, whether it's looking at what a manufacturer's website to see what he's got on sale, what the options are and whatever, and looking at important videos like your own where you know, at least here's a person that's looking out for me. He you know, he's a driver. And he's going to see what's important for himself, which will obviously be important for me as well.
Yeah, usually. But, you know, I'm of average stature. And if you're taller or shorter than I am, then there are some other considerations. So you got to make sure you fit yourself right and are seated properly behind the wheel. But then everything's got to work, you know, to your satisfaction. And the way cars are designed on the interior, they vary from one brand to the other.
Oh, huge. I mean, I've had a few instances where I would tell somebody, you know, it's really time to give up your car. It's as much as I'd like to take your money, it's the rust war is winning, and you know, your car can't be reliable anymore. And I've had people turn around and say, you know, if I could buy the exact same car, brand new, I would be happy to do it. But I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple years back even, I had someone who had always driven Honda Civics, loved Honda Civics.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden buys a new Honda Civic without really even going to the dealership.
Right.
And then gets in and said, where's the knobs for my heater and radio?
Exactly.
And they don't exist.
For one generation, Honda had removed the volume knob from the Civic. And, you know, it's a smart thing to have. I mean, as much as we got all these touch screens and that sort of thing, a volume knob's important. But it's more than that. And, you know, a Civic's one of my favorites because it's just a good all-around car. And I'm driving the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the ergonomics are designed is different than the previous generation, and it's different from certainly three generations ago.
Right.
So it's a completely different experience and very much electronic.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it's comfortable. It's functional. It does what it did what it's supposed to. And like you say, where they made some mistakes, maybe put too much technology in, they backed off a bit?
A little bit. There's a volume knob in the new one.
Right.
And it's got all the, you know, the latest electronics. So you can wirelessly connect your phone to the car now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wireless charger, so you don't need a cable anymore. And, it, you know, all of that stuff works.
Right.
But the way it operates is a little different. So if you're coming from a 10-year-old Civic, that's, you know, two generations ago already, and mm-hmm. it's a major leap forward.
Right. And better gas mileage as well, better performance.
Incredible gas mileage. I mean, I'm known for not tracking mileage and getting crappy mileage because I have a very heavy foot.
Heavy foot, exactly, yeah.
But this one I discovered is rated at 6.3 liters per 100 kilometers on the highway.
And you beat them.
I almost beat them. I got 6.4. And that's about 36 miles per gallon. Incredible for me.
That's great. And at the same time, I mean, I had a customer email me last weekend, and he thought this car wasn't getting quite the mileage he ought to get. I told him a couple things to check, of course, which was make sure you don't have too much junk in your trunk, make sure you have air in your tires, really basic things. But then he wrote on to say how he just did a trip with his friends in the car, and he thought it was a good thing. He put in Shell Super Gold, whatever it was, and I thought, hang on a second. You're doing a mileage test, but first of all, you've changed from one person to five people or four mm-hmm. people. And now, like, the whole thing about mileage was, you know, gas has gone up. It's expensive. Why are you using the best gas? It won't give you better gas mileage.
Certainly a Camry won't. And you know, like we talked about previously, in the old days, you might get better quality fuel or more detergents in the upper grades, but not anymore. They're all pretty clean. And if your car is rated for regular, put regular in it.
Exactly, exactly. All right, it's been a regular kind of day today. All very exciting. Lots of technology we talked about. Again, want to thank Kerry Schmidt. Stay off your phone, please, unless you're parked or stopped. Or sitting in a donut shop.
That's right.
And if you are sitting in a donut shop, make sure you shut the car off because just the three pedals is not enough to get your car not stolen. Want to thank Mark Saltzman, of course. He's the tech guru, and he's always around for stuff like that. Keep your eyes open. You know, as we talked earlier, too, carjacking is up significantly, especially here in the Big Smoke. If you got a fancy car,
mm-hmm. Pay attention.
Pay attention, yeah. You know, you got to look at where you are and look around yourself. And important stuff. That's about it. And we got to run. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank Carlos behind the board for keeping the wheels on. And we will be back next week for another edition of Car Talk. No, that was another show.
That's
because Steve's fault. Because Steve kept saying, remember when you were at that other place?
That's right. He was focused on that today. No, this is Dave's Corner Garage.
Dave's Corner Garage. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.